On the line right now, I have the lead singer of Post Punk Podge and the Techno Hippies, Post Punk Podge himself. How's it going, Podge?
How's it going, you? All good here, yeah.
Right, so I suppose maybe for folks who don't know your music, maybe they're older, or maybe they just, you know, they're not keeping up with post-punk from Limerick in 2020. Could you let us in on kind of what kind of music you make with your band?
It's a hodgepodge of a lot of things. I play the violin, and I rap, and I sing, and some of it's guitar driven and some of it is synth driven. It's basically post-punk music made with influences from all different influences, like electronic music and old school punk. I don't know what to call it, really. There's something for everyone in it anyway, I hope.
Well, you guys really do go with the DIY kind of feel of punk anyway.
Yeah, that's right. All of our releases have come out through our own distribution. Yeah. And the last thing we released was with a label called the Unseen.
That's right, yeah.
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 Which is also a DIY label.
Yeah. I was going to say, actually, about your influences, I was listening to some of your stuff there. Well, I've been listening to you for a while now. But what was it, just your last thing I think you put out? I was listening and I was like, yeah, you get a lot of feeling like Pale and stuff like that, like John Lydon's band and things like that, like when he left the Sex Pistols.
I love Pale, yeah. They're one of my favourite bands out of that era.
Mm-hmm. I always wondered why, like, everyone talks about the Sex Pistols, but no one ever talks about Pale, and they are far, in my mind anyway, much better even than the Sex Pistols.
But they're far more influential as well. Keith Levine's guitar sound is very much robbed by the age and a lot of people back in the 80s.
I suppose it'd be fair to say that all of your music would be politically kind of motivated, would you say?
Some of us are trying to move away from that so much now, but we've spoken about a lot of social and political issues in the country, such as the fire in Carrick Mines, and also Post Punk Election Party, which is a spherical song about a party in a kind of indie disco in the Dáil, you know?
Yeah, because a lot of your stuff is about, like, as you say, like politics and social issues and things like that as well, which would be what punk would have been kind of about, I suppose, really, at its core, you know?
Well, especially there was no one else writing about the things that were going on at the time. You get driven by anger, I suppose, to write these songs a lot of the time. Especially something like government security, which we have, which is about the guards breaking into the house in Dublin.
Yes,
and beating up the protesters with the balaclava on.
Yeah.
So when you see things like that happening, they make
one
to
do,
well, not to make
one
to write about it,
you know? Yeah, yeah. I remember if you don't remember that, it was protesters were squatting in a house, and basically to make the point about there was houses basically going vacant, and eventually then they were evicted by, as Podge says here, men in balaclavas. It was a bit of an odd situation, in fairness, all around. It was very strange why they were, well, that they were, they had to be there in the first place, and then the whole situation. But anyway, back to yourself. I suppose one of the things, I suppose, that people might notice about your band first is that you all wear masks and go under pseudonyms.
Yeah, that's a bit of crack, really. Yeah. I was working with Naive Ted, and he came up with the name Post Punk Podge, and he wears a mask, and to perform with him, I had to come up with a mask, so I came up with the envelope with all the on-post stickers and different band stickers on it. And then the rest of the band, then they wear masks as well, and the different character names. It's just a bit of fun, really, moving away from just going to see a band, a bunch of fellas in jeans and t-shirts, just trying to make it a bit more out there, and a bit more, I don't know, we call the band the Jobsbury Scheme for Men with Anxiety, so.
What was I going to say?
Kind of having a bit of fun around that, you know?
But as well, I think there was kind of there was like an idea in techno music where it was less about the individual making the music and more about the music itself, so a lot of people had masks and they didn't release the pictures and stuff like that. Like, I was like, oh, maybe it's that, and that's why they were doing this. But I suppose, as well as one of your contemporaries, I suppose, Blind Boy, the broadband discourse. I'm sure you're always getting compared to them, so sorry about that. But he has said himself that it helps him on stage with the mask because it helps him with his anxiety. Is that, do you feel that kind of helps you as well?
Yeah, 100%. Once you have an envelope on your head, you're already the most stupid-looking person in the room. So you just have to kind of embrace that and go with it, is what I usually do. And yeah, Blind Boy is doing great work at the moment in regards to mental health and everything that he does. So he's a definite influence, yeah.
Oh, yeah. When did you guys start? When did you guys start making music? I mean, well, I suppose we'll start with you. When did you start making music?
I've been playing music since I was 8 years of age. I've been playing the violin.
I've
been in bands and orchestras and choirs and every sort of thing imaginable since over the years. So we brought out the first song, Postal Collection Party, in 2016. It was just me and my friend. He's kind of involved less now, but we played our first gig in November 2017. So just over, coming up to 2.5 years now, I suppose, in the next few months, we've been going.
Songwriting and things like that, who's mostly writing the songs for you guys? Is it yourself, or is this a collaboration, or how does it go?
I've been making an album there now, and except for one song, I've written and played all the music on it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's the way it's been going now. It's mostly myself that will come up with the ideas and bring them to others. Mr. Cash for Gold recorded the mixtape with me, and he played improvised a lot of the music on it with me.
Oh, cool.
So it was just easier to make the album my own there, because everyone else is busy with their own stuff going on, you know?
Yeah.
I'm very happy with the album, with the way it's coming together.
Do you have any idea when that'll be coming out?
Hopefully September.
Oh, cool, alright. So what themes are you looking at now for the new album?
A lot more personal and just generally not about, could be anywhere, not necessarily Ireland. There's a few songs on the album that are about Ireland, but one is about the famine and one is about the Magdalen Laundry. So just moving away from, just trying to make it a bit more, what's the word, unifying, I suppose.
I get you,
The song's about, like, dealing with, like, post-traumatic stress, and there's a song about panic attacks, there's songs about breaking up with women, there's everything, there's something for all the family on it, anyway. I'm very happy with the way it's coming together at the moment, anyway. We have TPM on one of the songs as well.
Yeah, they did a live stream there on YouTube over St. Patrick's, I remember. That was really good.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, they did, that was the Mary Wallopers, their other outfit.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, TPM are the kind of... But yeah, actually, go back to there a second. They're more hip-hop and stuff like that. You were saying you rap as well. There is a huge, like, Irish rap scene in Ireland that has grown over the last 10 years and has exploded in the last, like, I say, year and a half.
Yeah, Limerick is the hardest at the moment.
What was that? I saw it. I'm really out of touch with music, though. You'll know the band's name, though. But there was a group put out a song, and it was nearly every rapper in Limerick was in it. Yourself was in the video as well.
God knows.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
Yeah.
That was it, right. That was the name
Superstar All-Stars, Southwest All-Stars.
That was it. I could try to keep up all these bands, and I'm like, I feel like an idiot, and I see this, and I go, oh yeah, there's all these people now, I'm going to keep track of all these people now. Where do you think because I always thought hip-hop and rap, or hip-hop and punk were very similar in their origins.
Yeah, they are.
You know, in a kind of like, it's not classically trained. People a lot of time, or maybe it is often, but what it is what they're dealing with is more issues, social issues that people are dealing with that aren't exactly rich people, like, you know.
Yeah, they're both forms of folk music, I suppose, expressions of what's going on for you. And what's going on around you, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's modern folk music, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think in a way, you see, you're saying kneecap are like similar to what are basically the Wolf songs of now.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of true in a way.
Yeah. Kneecap folks, if you don't know, are a band who they rap in Irish the whole time. Which, mm-hmm. Who would have thought that would have sold out over in England? Sell out shows over in England. That's amazing. It's so good. Good for them.
It's great for the language.
All wrong. You're the whole shebang. I'm just going to go back to your influences again. So, who would you have been listening to when you were growing up? You were like, listen to Pill. Would you be listening to a lot of hip hop as well?
I bought Pill's second album when I was 18 and I thought it was a load of shit. And 10 years later, I only properly got it. I was like that with The Fall as well.
Yeah.
I think you have to listen to a certain thing that's hard to get into off the bat is some of the post punk stuff, you know. But the first bands I can remember getting into was Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into Oasis and The Pogues as well.
Oh, yeah.
Guns N' Roses and The Pogues, like the first two bands I can remember being played. But I remember Guns N' Roses on the television going, what the hell is that? And getting a load of it. My dad got me one of the tape. But yeah, The Pogues would have been up there. I loved The Pogues when I was a child.
The Pogues have been because of your own kind of violin playing and their kind of trad music and stuff like that?
My dad was just obsessed with singing and he had a book of lyrics and stuff, and he always had The Pogues on in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So I learned classically, say, more violin stuff. But in recent years, I got more into playing trad. But yeah. I listened to all kinds of music since I was very young. I loved the Beatles from a very young age.
Oh, yeah.
I loved any sort of rock music, really. I loved the Clash. Were a big one for me.
The Clash kind of they kind of go across. They're punk, but it's like they kind of go into rock a lot of the time. Everyone likes them. Yeah, they're great.
The Clash did every sort of genre.
Yeah.
In fairness to them,
they did, reggae and everything.
Yeah.
And they did
it well as well.
Yeah. Like people sometimes maybe don't listen to the lyrics a lot, but what they're talking about. But they enjoy the music anyway.
Yeah, the lyrics are very socialist based.
Yeah.
I'm reading John Lydon's book at the moment and he's giving out about The Clash because they're all a bunch of rich kids. But I don't know, I think the songs still stand up really well for me anyway.
Yeah, they use their connections well and they got the message out anyway, so it doesn't really matter what your background is, I suppose, really, as long as you're do you know what you're talking about. But I thought you would have been listening to punk all your life, the way the feel of it is coming across. I mean, like, you were steeped in it almost, like, do you know?
When I was 15, I probably got into going to gigs in Limerick.
Oh, yeah.
So the AMC at the time was the Aspersion Music Collective. They had been putting on punk bands and metal bands and all sorts of noise rock and every sort of thing. They brought over, like, Fugazi back in the day.
Yeah. I remember that when I was a teenager, it seemed like there was always metal bands in Limerick. I never got to go, and I don't really go to gigs now. I have terrible anxiety, and I hate groups and things like that, but there was always metal bands, and I was like, this is really cool, do you know?
Yeah.
Limerick was the place to be, it seemed like, do you know?
Yeah, I'm going back 20 years ago now, like, that's when I would have first properly start getting into music.
Don't make me think of how old I am now, for God's sake.
I know, it's a scary right?
I just realised, oh god, you are turning 30 soon. I was like, oh god. So would you ever listen to a band like Crass or something?
I love Crass. Yeah. They'd be big influence on the lyrics in the band.
Yeah.
And I can remember the first time I heard Crass, it was about 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew my mind altogether.
Yeah.
Stations of the Crass, that album really, really hit home for me.
Yeah.
But I like all their work. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Envy is probably the best feminist album of all time.
I don't think you're allowed to say the name of that album on the radio. That's okay. This was brilliant. That was the best response ever. I suppose with them, their artwork as well, people have just really been influenced by Crass and everything like that. I think if you go into anyone that makes music, punk music, you'll see a Crass logo somewhere. I think it's on your, is Crass symbol on your envelope as well?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is it the same envelope, by the way, the whole time?
Is it a full envelope?
No, is it the same envelope the whole time?
I had to get a new one.
I was thinking, I was like, there's no way that's going to last so long. But, no,
I had the same one for about 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, actually. But, I suppose, with your kind of stuff, it's very kind of like, of your videos as well, there's one where, I'm a mad bee, where you're inside in the back of a van on a chair and stuff like that, and while it's not the most, you know, high budget video, but you get a lot out of it, and the videos are memorable, and it's like, you get a lot out of it, and I like your kind of style of your videos actually as well.
But the van had been driven around while I was performing the song, so it wasn't much fun for me. I actually did properly get sick in the video.
No, I'm just saying.
You sacrificed for your art, right. Whatever, when you get sick in the video.
Oh, God. But it kind of fits with the visuals always fit with the... Who does the visuals, I was trying to ask you. That's where I was going with this.
A few friends that do it. Graham Patterson did that particular video. Uh-huh. And he did one. Ronan Falvey then is the other lad that did the Generations Annex video.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly the two lads have done videos with... Yeah. They've done the two of them, actually.
They've
done all our videos, pretty much.
Oh, that's really cool.
Richard Holland did another one, then another
lad. Cool. Mass Deception
video, somebody, Richard
Holland. Oh, alright. Yeah, but yeah, I suppose that's good to have that kind of consistency with visuals and stuff like that. I mean, if it's the same kind of people working with them, you'll get that kind of thing. Like, I mean, you'll go, oh yeah, you look at it and go, yeah, that's a Posting Podge video. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, but it's very important to have videos really to get people to listen to songs these days, but I'm not the biggest fan of making music videos, but they're a necessary thing that has to be done, you know?
I suppose, yeah. How are you finding the Irish music scene in regards to getting music out there?
As in promoting it?
I mean, the whole shebang. Like, do you think it's easy for, like, if you're starting out now, is it tough?
It's awful, to be honest with you. You want to quit all the time because there's enough support networks there for people. And if you're not in with a certain clique up in Dublin, you better forget about it.
Oh, yeah.
Is a lot of it, I find. Down in Limerick, we just don't care about the rest of the country anymore. We're just doing our own thing.
That's kind of the better way to do it. And I suppose then people are kind of going, wait, what's happened to Blood? Because you got that video we're talking about earlier on, that got a load of like media attention. So people are going, wait, what's happening in Limerick? Oh my God. And there's like a big cultural explosion. I mean, people of all different types. You've got Emma Langford, you've got yourselves, you've got rap, you've got a whole bunch of stuff happening in Limerick at the moment.
Yeah.
Culturally, it's just exploding altogether.
Definitely, yeah. And long may it last.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard for people without the necessary funding or...
That's it, yeah.
...in place, really. Like, getting ahead in the music industry is all about the contacts you have and the money you have. It doesn't matter how good a band you can be.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the likes of Oasis would have made it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were just a bunch of working class lads off in the States. Like, they wouldn't have had the money to... put into to get ahead.
Oh yeah,
like, which is a sad thing to say. It's true. Like,
no, yeah. I mean, like, you go like, just I suppose even just radio play it probably wouldn't even do it. I mean, you're trying to get it out, and there's like a big media landscape, and it's not just the Irish scene. You've got like American and every other country, and it's like the internet now is kind of like so saturated with stuff. It must be kind of daunting, and then trying to get over that, as you're saying, like, you need the money, right?
Yeah, you need to have a network of people working with you and helping you. Trying to do everything on your own is very difficult. I find it very difficult, you know?
Well, I can only see you guys going places anyway. I mean, your music is so good. And, I mean, not just that, but it's like it's getting out there. You got visuals out there. And I think it's resonating with people as well. And they're going, oh, yeah, I can identify with this. I can see where it is. Like TPM as well. Dude, their songs are really reaching people and doing things. And Emma Langford's stuff as well is doing the same thing where she's getting people and going to place. And she's, you know, connecting people as you guys are as well. And it's definitely making a connection. Anyway, you know.
You have to do it for yourself first and foremost. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's it.
I say that to any young person that's like, be careful what you wish for, like, because if you're not doing it for yourself first and foremost, you're wasting your time, really, you know.
I suppose that's best, generally, because
people can see through things that are authentic and are fake very quickly as well.
And there's no point you kind of going and walking, and it's just this old, I think it's what everyone else wants. You don't have the connections, and you're like, going, well, not only have I not made anything, now I don't even have anything that I'd listen to.
Yeah.
You know, that would be kind of, I mean, I've done it myself. I used to try the art and everything. I try, oh, what will everyone like? And I go, no one likes this, and also I don't like it. You know?
But, yes, I'm finding it hard to hear you there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I know. The signal's really bad. Listen, we've been going for nearly half an hour now, so I might as well wrap it up there. But, Podge, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me here today.
No worries.
All right.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
Yeah. And by the way, just if anyone wants to check out your music, where can they hear us? They can go to...
Bandcamp, yep. Spotify, SoundCloud, oh, YouTube are the main ones, yeah.
It was great talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
No worries.
All of it.